Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Draft Prospect Review, one of the official podcasts of the New England Patriots. It's Tuesday, March 13th, the week of St. Patrick's Day, and it's been a lucky one for the Patriots. Today we start our position-by-position analysis with Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo with quarterbacks.
And we are back for another edition of the Draft Prospect Review. We're going to talk about quarterbacks in just a bit as we begin our run through different positions week by week leading up to the NFL draft. But first, we'll talk about some of the players who the Patriots brass, Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli, have supposedly, reportedly worked out closely as they make their spring training trip down to Florida in between visits with Terry Francona and all that in the Red Sox dugout. They have gone over to the University of Florida campus, worked out, among others, Reggie Nelson. And there's also news that they are working out Michigan linebacker John Beeson, also down in the state of Florida. Miami linebacker John Beeson. That was my fault. Let's start with Nelson. He's a guy, especially at a position that the Patriots are probably looking to get some youth, and at a position, especially where the Patriots draft, could he be available? It seems like he's rising up a little bit. How much interest do the Patriots have in him, and could he be available at 24?
I don't think he's going to be there at 24. No. I really don't. I know at the combine he kind of slipped a little bit, blah, blah, blah. You watch this guy play, he's phenomenal. And I think, I mean, even a team like the Cowboys, who's picking ahead of the Patriots, they need a safety like that in the worst way, a coverage guy. He can also play cornerback. He said at the combine, Andy, that teams were asking him about that. Yep. So he's that versatile guy. I just don't think he's going to be there at 24.
Plus, he went out and ran a 4.35 on his pro day, right? I mean, that's what was reported. Obviously, we weren't there. But reports of a 4.35 for a guy that can play safety, corner. He's one of those interesting prospects. I agree with Tom. There was a while there he was a high pick. Then all of a sudden, the combine thereafter, he was slipping, sliding. Who knows? Maybe he'd be available. But guys that can play safety, corner, 4.35 40s, and the production he had in college, I just don't think there's any chance he's around at 24. I think he's a mid-teens pick.
He and LaRon Landry are widely regarded as the top safeties.
Yeah, miles apart, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm going to be the lone dissenter. I'm not nearly as high on Reggie Nelson as Andy and Tom are. I'm not saying that he'll be available at 24, because that I really don't know. I'll defer to these guys because they've followed the stuff much more closely than I have. So I don't know in terms of slipping to 24 or 28, but I get a little leery. I mean, I've seen Florida play a lot, and I had a chance to see him a lot, and he is a good player. I'm not saying this guy's a stiff and doesn't deserve to be a first-round pick. However, I'm a little leery of the fact that, you know, he can play corner and safety, yet in college they chose him to play him mostly at safety. That kind of concerns me right there. So I wonder just how much can he play corner. I'd probably take that out of the equation a little bit, because I think that generally an SEC team would play a guy that's good enough to play a corner. I think they would play him at corner. Now, I could be wrong on that, not knowing his full background. But I think that he's one of those guys that he had that reputation. He had the cool nickname, the Eraser, and all that stuff. In every game, he was the highlight of Vern Lundquist, calling those SEC games. He was the highlight of every package. I just didn't think that he made as many plays as he was given credit for. So I guess I'm the lone dissenter of the three of us in terms of Reggie Nelson.
Well, the Patriots obviously have some intrigue with the Florida players, as we saw during last year's draft. Bill Belichick and Urban Meyer have a close relationship. While they were down there, who are some of the other Florida players that they looked at, or that you think they have interest in? I know Earl Everett.
They looked at Earl Everett. Andy and I don't like him at all.
Hate him.
He's a guy. He's a guy who benefited from playing on a great college defense. Just kind of one of those, when you see a college defense and there's that guy running around making plays because everyone else is being blocked. He was that guy. Mid-round pick, I would say.
He's a special teamer. He's not fast enough, first of all, to be a true run-around linebacker. There's some guys, you see them, they make the jump to the NFL, and they can still run around blocks and still make plays. He's not fast enough, in my mind, to do that. Not real big. I think at best he's he'll probably be a productive special teamer, a backup kind of guy. But in terms of legitimate defensive playmaker, I don't think he has a successful career ahead of him.
How about Beeson? At linebacker, he seems to be a guy at linebacker who's been rising up the draft charts coming out of Miami. Where do you see him falling, and is he a guy that you think the Patriots have genuine interest in?
Well, according to Patriot.com's mock draft, he's going to the Patriots at pick 24.
You can't trust anything that is on that website or by that writer. But anyways.
I agree.
No, but we heard at the combine that he was a guy the Patriots might be interested in. We wrote about him on the website. We were made fun of because he's not a 3-4 player, but they worked him out. They obviously like him. We know that for a fact. They like him. And as you said, Bilo, he's moving up draft boards, so it'll be interesting because Willis is probably going to go pretty high now. And if Beeson's the next in line there, he's also that 4-3 Tampa 2 guy. It'll be interesting to see if he's still there at 24.
I liked one of the things that these guys came back telling me about Beeson, in that he talked about he played the will at Miami, and most of the pro scouts talked about him as being a Mike type of guy in a 3-4. And one of the comments that he made, and I think Tom, you told me that he said it's still the same basic two-gap principle.
Right.
And that, to me, that's kind of like the buzzwords that you're looking to hear. Not that we understand all, you know, exactly what all that means in terms of, the, you know, switching from the will 4-3 to the Mike in the 3-4. But when he talks about being comfortable in the terms that the Patriots use, that puts my mind at ease. Even though he's a little smaller than most of the Patriots inside linebackers have been, I think that he might be able to be, you know, like Tom said, one of those Jonathan Vilma kind of guys. A little smaller, but the athleticism makes up for it.
Before we get on to quarterbacks, just one timely question in terms of what the Patriots have done in free agency. If the reports are true, they've now added three wide receivers, Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth, and Kelly Washington. Do you think that means that wide receiver is less of a priority in the draft, or, on the other hand, with Stallworth and Washington supposedly on these contracts that could be done after 1 year, does it mean that they're still very interested, obviously, in the long-term future and might go after a wide receiver in the first round? What do you make of the wide receiver situation as far as the draft?
Well, it's definitely less. Yeah, less important.
You're talking about it from being a true need to now you have talented bodies who, some of which once were high picks, productive guys in the NFL, there to compete for jobs. So even if you take one, you're looking at a guy to come in, compete, as you said, maybe be a long-term year two, year three option down the road, but in terms of glaring needs or biggest needs now, we clearly look to the defensive backfield and inside linebacker moving to the top of the list.
Yeah, and I think, and I know you guys, I think, agree with me, this is going to be a defensive draft because you mentioned the wide receivers, but who says Asante Samuel's here after
right.
this year? And they only have one right. other corner, really, in Hobbs.
I was going to say, even if he is here, there's no one else.
Yeah,
I mean, you have two starters and
Rodney Harrison and Artrell Hawkins, both right. guys who are up there in age. So they definitely need youth at linebacker and defensive back.
Yeah, we always get in trouble when we say I'd be shocked if they did blank, but
right.
I think you guys are absolutely right. This has to shape up as a defensive draft. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense if they go heavy offense again. Not only they went off all offense last year in the draft, but then they made all the free agent moves.
Yeah.
Was it 5 out of 6 of the guys that they signed in these first 10 days were offensive players? It just would stand to reason that they gotta go defense.
All right, as far as quarterback, the highest the Patriots have drafted a quarterback in the Bill Belichick, Scott Pioli era was the 4th round with Rohan Davey. Good chance that doesn't necessarily change this year, but when you look at their quarterback depth, with Matt Cassel being the only backup behind Tom Brady, and he hasn't really started a game since high school, what sort of priority do you think they're placing on quarterback in terms of development from the 2007 draft, and which round do you think is a round, if they do go in the direction of a quarterback, that they might target one?
Undrafted free agent.
Casey Bramlett.
Is this that much of a weak crop of quarterbacks?
It's a weak draft.
I think
crop.
It's a terrible, one of the worst I've ever.
Well,
seen.
I mean, but when I say that, I'm not talking in terms of first round talent because I know. I mean, we all know that there aren't many first round guys.
Right.
You know, it's basically Quinn and Russell, and you know,
they're the only two who are guaranteed to be even probably in the first 2 rounds.
I just see a bunch of short guys with weak arms.
Right.
That's what I see in this draft.
But you never know if they fall in love with some random guy from who knows where, whoever he is, and project him, because I do think they need to get another young quarterback in the system, not just to be as your third emergency quarterback, but a guy that could be in the system for, let's get, at some point here, Matt Cassel, you know, does he look to go somewhere where he might actually be able to play? Is he going to drum up some interest?
That's
at any
why
point?
I say, and I kind of side with Andy on this one, that, you know, I'm wondering about the overall depth, not necessarily at the top. Like, where's a guy like Stanton going to go?
Well, he's going to go pretty high now, 2nd round.
Okay. Well, if he goes that high, then I would take him off the Patriots board. But if they could squeak him early in the second day, you know, they have to. I think they need to draft a quarterback. In my mind,
they need to get one, find one. And the thing that's going to be interesting is we already have Pioli on the record saying he expects them to get a 7th and 2 6s as compensatory picks. Picks you have to make.
Right.
You can't trade.
Can't trade, can't.
So they're late
draft
picks.
And one other.
But they're late draft picks, a couple extra sixes and a seven, that's, I mean, that's the perfect place for you to take a quarterback. Just take a chance. It's basically an extra pick.
Yeah, and I'll just throw one name out there from one of Paul's schools, James Madison.
One of Paul's schools.
Justin Riscotti. He was a 1AA kid.
He's not a bad player, I'll tell you. Now, he had a lot of success, a lot of experience.
Yeah, so that's the type of guy I think they would go at because the big-name guys like your, I don't know, your John Becks and from BYU, they just...
If those are the big names.
Well,
and I saw very little of them, and I'll admit that I'm basically going off the bowl game, is the kid from Houston, Kolb,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I don't love him.
He had a great bowl game. System, though, and you got
to no question.
But as
like a sixth round pick. I mean, that's where they took Kingsbury a couple years ago. I think it was a sixth or seventh round pick. He didn't pan out. But you know, and it was the same kind of deal, Tom. System guy that you wonder about. But you never know. All of a sudden, you get one of those guys, and you find out that he has a little bit more arm than the system showed.
Well, that's the one. We just watched the film on him, and he never makes an intermediate throw. It's either throwing the ball up deep for grabs off to a back or a guy crossing.
Yeah.
You never got to see him make a throw. I literally saw him
play one game. I want to say they played Oregon State, maybe?
In the bowl game.
It was a great high-scoring game, mm-hmm. and I just thought he was very impressive in that game. And it was kind of one of those things I put it in the back. Because I really think the Patriots need to draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go in again. I think it's fine if you only have two on the roster the way they did last year. I don't know, but now you're going 2 years in a row with only two on the roster, one of which has never played at any level.
Really, in football,
and you're a year closer to losing that guy. Because let's face it, when Matt Castle's a free agent, he's gonna want to leave. Now there's always a chance that he says, you know what, I'm not so sure I can play. I'm not gonna leave here. I'm gonna stay on the gravy train.
But there's also a chance that he plays this preseason and then, God forbid, gets in a game here or there and has success in those games, and people say,
and then
on that limited sampling, I want to give this guy a chance.
You know,
throw a little money at him. You know,
guys have done it on very small samples in the past. We've seen with Rob Johnson, we played one game with Jacksonville, what Buffalo was willing to give up.
Scott Mitchell.
I mean, those guys at least played some games.
Right.
I mean, Rob Johnson played one game.
Right.
But Matt Schaub is a good example of a guy who we've never seen be a starter in this league, and teams are dying to get him, and the Falcons had to pay big money to keep him. So you're right, Paul. I think teams could see him in that preseason action getting better every year and say, this is a guy we're targeting.
And he was clearly light years ahead last year. Castle, I'm talking about. He was light years ahead last year in the preseason than what we saw in that first preseason. And I expect him to be even better this year.
A couple of quarterbacks from the quote-unquote pipeline type of schools, Florida's Chris Leak, Iowa's Drew Tate. They're both short. They're both small.
Both can't play.
Both maybe can't play.
And that pains you to say it about Leak, because
I
know
Leak.
What you think of Chris Leak.
I like Leak, but I just think watching him in the postseason bowl games and stuff, I think his size and lack of arm strength. I think if you're 6'4 and you don't have a cannon for an arm, you can get away with it sometimes.
Right.
But being 5'11 and not having a big arm, I think he's going to be in trouble.
And everything he threw was on a rollout.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be a pro passer at some point.
He throws a good looking ball, but doesn't have a lot on it.
Yeah, it looks really nice, and then you're like, wow, that ball's been in the air a while.
He has a very,
get to the receiver.
He has a very tight spiral to his ball, but it doesn't get there very quickly.
I'll tell you why. You put him in the Canadian Football League, he'll win 5 MVP awards.
Well, he's got an NFL Europe MVP award somewhere in the future, World Bowl MVP.
Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn, who's going to be the better pro?
Jamarcus Russell.
Based on?
I don't know. I don't think either of them are
I'm a scared
surefire
of
players.
I'm scared of both of them.
Yeah.
I think Quinn's upside is guy who plays for five different teams and is a backup who has to start. I just don't think he's very good.
I agree with Andy that Jamarcus Russell has upside, but when you watch him on tape, he stares down one receiver the whole way. So now that's something that tells me he needs to come in here and sit. He can't come in here and just start and run around and throw the ball up like Rohan Davey did at LSU and expect receivers to come down with it. But my problem with him is gets drafted by Oakland, starts right away, never reaches his potential.
Never,
right.
Where do you think Quinn? Assuming you think Russell does go to Oakland, you think at this point he's
if he gets by the Vikings, I really can't see how he would get by the Vikings. Quinn.
Well, now there's a lot.
Seven?
I know a lot of people are putting him at two again to the Lions at number two. Yeah. So
and
who knows?
He has said that he really wants to play in Cleveland. Now, that what does that
Adrian
mean?
Peterson. Put it in the books.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be getting into more mock drafts and obviously continuing different positions. It'll be a mystery which one we choose next week. Why is it a mystery? Because we don't know yet which one we're going to pick for next week, but we will talk about a different position.
Punter?
On next week's draft prospect review, which one?
Punter?
Punter. We might go special teams. We'll get special teams out of the way, but, of course, on Friday we will have another roster review, roster report, and, of course, with the transactions that have not yet officially been sent out by the Patriots but are supposedly done deals, Stallworth and Washington, will be getting into that as well. So for Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's go back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. Check back again next week for a new Draft Prospect Review podcast. And keep checking Patriots.com for all our new podcasts in the off-season. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!